Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Everybody get up.
I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. It's about 77 degrees here in the Pensacola area. Going to be high of the in about the mid-80s, 83, 84, 85, somewhere right around there, with a chance of rain and thunderstorms today. About 35% chance of rain this afternoon. But, you know, 35% in the summer means it's going to rain somewhere in our area. There is, it's first day of school today, so exciting day for you know, one reason or another, right? I know a lot of kids, we covered this a little bit earlier, 14% of kids are very excited to go, and 16% of kids are very sad to go. Yet, even the ones that are sad to go, there's still some sort of excitement of really getting to see your friends again, if you have friends, I guess. Maybe that's why they're very sad. They don't have friends. I don't know. But also, there's this new environment, what your classroom's going to be like, what your teacher's going to be like. Like, there's this, maybe there's an anxiety to it, but there's some sort of, you know, excitement. And then there's the parental excitement as well of, it's first day of school. I get my babysitter back. You know, there's that as well. Now, to let you know about this, there's a new law, new state law, that takes place this school year. The state law is a total ban of cell phone usage at elementary and middle schools during school hours. So basically bell to bell for K through 8, total ban. So if you're one of those parents who's like, it's okay for my kid to have it. It's okay. I want my kid to have it. That way I can reach him anytime I want to. Well, just because you as the parent may be okay with that, the state has decided you don't know what's best for your child, and they don't want your kid to have their cell phone. The state, so Escambia County says it's the law, so it's something we're going to be making certain weird hearing to. It's according to Keith Leonard, the superintendent. Apparently, Escambia County looked at something called Yonder Pouches, Y-O-N-D-R. Those apparently help control phone usage, but they found them to be cost prohibitive. So it locks the phone inside of it, and things like, but instead they're just going to say, hey, look, we'll just have to either collect phones or just keep your phones in your locker if you have lockers and things like that. So the high school students, by the way, are generally allowed to use their phones outside of class, but not during instruction time, unless directed by a teacher that they can use it for educational purposes, which I've known that with my daughter. There's been times where, like, the teacher will be like, all right, pull your phone out to use your calculator, pull your phone out to use this or to search for this or search for that. And I actually, go ahead.
No, I was like, you know, a way around this. You know, I don't want to say a way around it, but if your son or daughter has a Apple, I'm just because I'm an Apple person, Apple Watch that's connected via cell towers. Okay, they don't have phone, but there's still another way to get in touch with them.
They got their watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, technology is always going to be five steps ahead of the lawmakers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, so, but the thing, but you know, for kids K through eight, do they really need to be having their
phones? No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's my concern. I was going to bring this up when we talked about this before. But
let me do a quick traffic on the fives real quick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's traffic. I'm sorry. I meant to do traffic. Yeah, go for it.
That's all right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on Highway 29 going southbound, right around Tate Road to Kingsfield Road, you're going to notice some delays. Yes, school is back in session for Tate High School, all of Escambia County and Santa Rosa County. So make sure you watch out for those yellow buses. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, we got a text here. 10 Mile Road east of railroad tracks. There's a car wreck. Traffic's backed up going eastbound on 10 Mile from Palafox.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks for that text. Yep. Here's another text. Just hope teachers will enforce it. It was school rules last year, and many teachers didn't. Yeah, and I'm not sure if teachers will. That's the thing. So this is a state law. So maybe being law, maybe teachers may want to enforce it a little bit more. Maybe not. I don't know. Here's the other thought I was having about it, which is maybe K through five, maybe ban it. But this is an issue I've kind of had with schools in general, which is that's been changed. They're almost fighting technology.
Correct.
Instead of embracing it and figuring out how to use it. Because this, let me give an example with AI, for example. I mentioned before this hour that, or last hour, that there's AI checks that teachers do now. So when your kid submits a paper, the teacher can run it through some AI checker and it will determine how much of that paper was written by AI. And there's usually, every teacher's different, but usually there's some teacher will be like, you know, no more than 40% or 30% can be AI or something like this. I have a problem with that for two reasons. One is because like, all right, fine. I'll just say it. I actually wrote my daughter's paper last year at one point. She was way behind on a bunch of school. I said, look, I'll write this paper and then you can just adjust it after, you know, make it your own, but I'll write it for you. So I wrote her paper. My daughter, before she took it over and before she made her adjustments, ran it through AI. And she was like, Dad, this says it's like 75% AI. You just wrote it in AI. And I was like, actually, I didn't. And she's like, well, the AI checker says you did. I'm like, then guess what? AI checker must be getting its information from papers I've written in the past because this was all me. And so I got a problem with it saying that AI did it when AI is only as good as the information that it draws from. And if AI is drawing its information from papers I've written or maybe my writing style or something like this, like I'm getting busted for writing AI when I wrote it 100% myself, like screw you. And so I'm like, so I have a problem with that. But then here's my biggest problem though. The jobs of the future are going to be people who know how to use AI to get the job done.
That's right.
So if you're penalizing kids for using AI, you are setting them up for failure in the future. And I get what you're saying. Well, they need to know how to structure a sentence and a paragraph about, do they though? Do they? Because I can tell you how many times I needed to know formulas for different things, whether it be Excel formulas, whether it be coding formulas. There's things I needed to know, but I can't remember them all the time anymore. And so you know how many times I go to AI and I go, "What's the code to finish this? You know, I'm doing this on this website. What's the code? I can't remember." And boom, it just spits it out for me. Or I just forget an Excel code. And I'm like, I just go to AI now. I don't even try to remember. Why should I even try to remember? I need to know where to get the information from. Instead of just Googling, now I can go to AI and go, give me the formula to do this. And then boom, spits it out. I'm like, oh, that's the one. Yes, I remember now. And I do it. The jobs of the future are going to be people who know how to use AI to get stuff done. It's the way I used to even think. I remember being penalized as a kid for using a calculator. And I was like, why? I'm never not going to use a calculator when I get older for some of these harder mathematical things. Never going to do that.
Or so why you'll never have a calculator with you all the time. Remember that one?
If I don't, I'm not doing the harder math.
Right.
I'm not going to do the harder math. And then nowadays, when everybody has a cell phone, teach the kids how to use this stuff. So is it text? Does that mean your writing is robotic? No, it means AI AI is learning from It just you. Means, you know what it means? It means I'm a really good writer, and the AI acknowledges my writing. And it's like, you're almost as good as me. No, just kidding. I don't know. But what I do know is that AI is only as good as the input that it can draw from. And if it's drawing from the same sources that I would draw from or research from or write from in the same style, like if I write an APA style and all of a sudden the AI is writing an APA style, so you're AI. No, I'm not. It's me. So the difference is students now depend on AI to think for them instead of how you just said. I do get that. But at the same time, there's already people who do that. Like that's the future. I see it in the workplace already where people aren't thinking for themselves. In the workplace, they just go to AI and go, how do I finish this project? And the AI tells them and then they do it. And so I think there's a balance there. So I think and I don't know what the balance is. I'm just saying the people, the teachers, the schools that have the mentality of we want to have as little AI involved in our learning as possible are like, you're going the wrong direction. Yet the people who are like, you know, if somebody's like, no, we're going to use AI for everything. Well, then that's the wrong direction too. There's got to be a balance there, right? 850-437-1620. That's our text line. If you'd like to weigh in, text 850-437-1620. Let's get a quick break. We come back here. We got Traffic on the Fives. We'll get an update from John Pickens over in the newsroom.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Famously, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What was it that the apostle had to forget? Possibly the fact that before his conversion, he consented to the death of Stephen. Before Paul met Jesus, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and the Bible says he was injurious, which is the idea of harmful. When Paul says forgetting those things which are behind, he is saying you don't have to let the failures of your past, no matter how devious, define your future. Forget those failures and reach forward to a future full of opportunity to serve Christ. Jesus wants to graciously liberate you from a life of guilt over sin and bad decisions. So call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
You're at the age you're ready to retire, but you're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all your life, and now it's time for you. It's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there's one you'll want to know more about. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in the place.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it. Like
this one of the ones on the worst song?
Cause I got that boom boom that all
this
the
is
boys
just
shakes.
A good song. It's a catchy song.
It was on
this
the
is
list.
One of the songs, one of the top 10 songs that was submitted for worst songs ever. All About That Bass from Meghan Trainor. I think it's a good song. I don't mind this one. Or Moves Like Jagger that we played earlier.
We got Cheerleader from OMI, Shape of You from Ed Sheeran, We Are Young from Fun. They're the other ones that we've played thus far for songs that are considered to be worst song ever. I don't mind some of these. But We Are Young, it's so catchy, I liked it. And then I listened to the words and I was like, wait, what? I don't think so. Text here. I'd like to know how much AI is involved in a lot of these teachers who do teachers plans. Especially if it
good
injects
question.
Woke ideology. Well, that's interesting. That's a good question. I would definitely use AI to help with that.
Hey, and don't forget about traffic on the fives.
Oh, we'll do that. Yeah, fine. We'll do it. Let's do traffic on the 27s.
Okay. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. All right, got a couple of accidents to let you know about. If you're on 10 Mile Road just east of the railroad tracks, there's a car accident. The traffic's backed up going eastbound on 10 Mile Road from Palafox. And let's see here. Also, I've got another one accident in the Nature Preserve area going into Gulf Breeze. One lane is blocked, one lane is open, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I got a text here. I was talking about we need to have balance when it comes to using phones in school. Balance when it comes to using AI. Don't just completely ban phones. Don't completely ban use of AI. Got a text here that says, balance is correct. No phones during school. Use phones all you want out of school. There's your balance. No, it's got to be the future jobs is using your phone and using AI and things like that. So there's got to be a way to be able to integrate that to me. Now I get it. So many kids, though, I hear it from teachers all the time, and they're not on their phones for educational purposes. They're not on their phones to help with the lesson or help with math or to help with whatever. They're on their phones chatting or playing games. Yes, that's like if there's a way to block that stuff so that they can only be used for what you're trying to get out of the class, then that'd be because that's the problem. That's the problem. The moment you're like, hey, pull your phone out. We're going to do an exercise on using AI for this blah, blah, blah. As soon as you tell them to pull their phones out, you know what they're doing. They're immediately texting, right? They're immediately texting friends, family, whatever. Kid, you know, two desks away from them, or they're snapping pictures, IG, Instagramming, who knows, right? That's immediately what they're doing. Oh, boy. This is Pensacola Morning News. All right, another first. So first day of school is today for a lot of people. Here's another first. Hurricane. Looks like now we got one over in the west coast of Africa. 90% chance of formation over the next 2 days. So that's pretty much going to form. Now, the storm track of this initially was showing it was going to head towards the Bahamas and towards like the Caribbean. Now, they don't really have a storm track. The storm track is it goes out to the middle of the Atlantic and just kind of fizzles out. There's also two other storms with a 10% chance of formation over the next 7 days. Neither of those look like they would come to our area at all. Let's go to David Wayne over the newsroom real quick. David.
Well, President Trump holding a news conference this morning to lay out his new vision for Washington, D.C. He posted on Truth Social yesterday. The president says his news conference will not only involve ending the crime, murder, and death, it will also touch on what he called the general physical renovation and condition of our once beautiful and well-maintained Capitol.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump will meet with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin later this week in Alaska over Putin's war in Ukraine.
Whether or not this pivotal meeting leads to a lasting peace deal remains very much up in the air. The president has spent much of the last 8 months pressuring both Ukraine and Russia to reach a deal to end the bloodshed. In recent weeks, though, Trump became much more critical of Moscow, claiming the Russians were not doing much of anything to end the conflict.
Fox's Mark Meredith, Ukraine's President Zelensky demanding more pressure today on the Kremlin, posting on X, Russia is dragging out the war. Sentencing for the rapist and killer Rachel Morin this morning, her mother Patty.
How can I put the value of her life, reduce it to ink and paper?
She joined Fox and Friends, her daughter, a mother of five, found dead August of 2023, killed by Victor Martinez Hernandez. America's listening to Fox News.
Good. Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's partly cloudy, and we've got 76 degrees here across the area this morning. Well, an investigation underway after a body was found along the railroad tracks in Cantonment over the weekend. Officials say a man was found by CSX workers Saturday afternoon. Investigators believe that victim may have been hit by a train on Friday. An investigation is ongoing. Learning more about the economic impact of this year's Pensacola Beach Air Show, a study was commissioned by Visit Pensacola on the Red, White, and Blue show featuring the Blue Angels, which said it generated $31.5 million in economic impact for the community. It attracted about 206,500 visitors from July 9th through July 12th. That included more than 60,000 people who came from out of county and contributed more than $20 million to our local economy. The study said around 63% of those visitors stayed in paid accommodations and spent at least $1,000 during their visit. Now, the owners of the local market and cafe on Pensacola Beach are asking permission from the Santa Rosa Island Authority to install a sailfish from one of the old Pensacola Beach welcome signs outside of their store on Via de Luna Drive. Mandy and Dustin Vaughn, they're hoping the iconic piece of local history will attract visitors for photos and celebrate the spirit of Pensacola Beach. The Vaughns plan to include dimmable lighting on the sailfish to minimize disruption to nearby residents and wildlife. The sailfish was originally designed by Pat Bourne in the early 1960s. The SRIA board will be discussing their request during a meeting on August 13th. Well, no charges were filed against a woman involved in a shooting on Castlegate Drive over the weekend. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they were called to a home at around 4 a.m. Saturday where a man had been shot in the face. A woman was at the home and said she'd been invited over by that man, who then called a Lyft driver and started acting strangely. She said that the two struggled after he pulled a gun on her. During that struggle, the gun went off. The man was hit in the face. Investigators say the woman's actions were in self-defense and no charges will be filed against her. Well, it is the first day of school. Students headed back to a new policy which bans cell phones in some classrooms.
I'm okay with it, but it's not in all the schools. It's at our elementary and middle schools.
Superintendent Keith Leonard, he says he never imagined that cell phones would grow into being such a problem, but teachers are prepared now to enforce the new policies this year, and if students don't comply, there would be consequences. The state law required school districts to update their policies and enforce the cell phone ban. Now, for high school students, they are still allowed to use their phones for educational purposes and with teacher discretion. It is almost 7:35 now here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got a couple of accidents to let you know about. If you're on East 10 Mile Road and Kim Strand Road, we've got an accident there. And also another one on East 10 Mile Road and Terra Don Circle. We've seen a partial roadblock with that one. So definitely avoid 10 Mile Road if you can. Seeing some delays on East Kingsfield Road and Highway 29 going southbound. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some nice weather through your morning commute. Heading into your afternoon, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Heading into your nighttime, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Tuesday, 70% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Going into your Wednesday, still having that rain chance around 60% chance with a high near 89. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, partly cloudy. We've got 76 degrees. Heat index at about 86 right now. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. To be considered wealthy in the U.S., Americans say you need a net worth of $2.3 million in 2025. And that number can be even higher depending on where you live. Charles Schwab's latest modern wealth survey says this statistic is down from $2.5 million last year. Reuters reports the Postal Service has cracked down on distributors of unregulated vapes using its services for business shipments in a blow to a multi-billion dollar industry that has dented big tobacco sales. USPS's action stands to benefit tobacco giants including Altria and British American Tobacco. U.S. video platform and cloud services provider Rumble said it is considering an offer of about $1.2 billion for German AI cloud group Northern Data. Rumble previously said that a deal would give it control of Northern Data's GPU cloud-rich business, Taiga, and its large-scale data center arm, Arden. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data later this week. That's your money now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. 78 degrees on the first day of school. Going to be a high in the mid to low 80s today with a chance of rain. Here's our next worst song ever submission. Sex is on Fire. Sex on Fire from Kings of Leon. Actually, I like this. This is another catchy song. All these songs are catchy songs. Maybe that's why they're the worst ones, because they became earworms. It just digs in your head, and you're like, this is just, I can't take it anymore. Let's get a quick traffic update. We got a lot of things going on in traffic right now. I want to get a quick traffic update. We'll get another one in 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see here. We've got a couple of accidents on the books right now. If you're on 10 Mile Road at Terra Dawn Circle, there's a partial roadblock there. And also, we've got another one. Nope, that one's actually cleared up. But avoid 10 Mile Road area if you can. Take Highway 29 to get around that. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the nines.
Yeah. Okay. From now until the end of the month, give us your feedback on the station through our listener advisory board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com. Click on the survey pop-up. It only takes about 5 minutes to fill out. This is your chance to have your voice be heard. It is anonymous. And you have until the end of the month to fill this out. So be sure to go to our website, newsradio923.com. We just mentioned there's a hurricane in the Gulf, or it's developing over the next 2 days. We should have a hurricane. And this one does have a chance to come to the Gulf. There's two other ones that have a 10% chance of developing, so they may not develop into anything. And even if they do develop into something, they're further north. There has no plans for them to go south. So those, we're fine from those. But there's this one over on the west coast of Africa. If that develops, it does have a chance to come into the Gulf. So we'll be keeping our eye on that throughout the week right here on News Radio 923. And here's something else going on. Florida Wildlife Commission is going to vote on having a black bear hunt. They've done this basically the last 3 years. They've looked at doing a possible black bear hunt. Now, they've not had a black bear hunt in 10 years. The last time they had one, they had kind of a quota. I don't remember what the quota was, but there's a quota of number of bears that they were like, okay, we will allow this many bears to be killed, and we estimate it'll take, 2 months or whatever. And whatever that quota was, they hit it like in a week. And they're like, okay, then. Like, and so because of that, because of, so they're concerned with overpopulation right now of black bears across the state, particularly in the East Panhandle zone. Although a lot of residents of Santa Rosa County are like, don't just look at East Panhandle, West Panhandle, Middle Panhandle's not doing so great either. So there's concern with overpopulation. And so they're looking, okay, we could have a bear hunt. But the concern is the last time they had a bear hunt, it was very close to going from overpopulation to underpopulation because once you give people permission, like, go for it. It goes a little bit, gets a little out of hand pretty quick. So that's why there's a concern with that. But like I said, if they do something like that, there's a lot of people in Santa Rosa County who are, you need to include this as part of the area, not just Bay County. Because I think it goes to Bay County is the furthest, the closest county to us. There's a lot of other people, though, who go, look, if there's overpopulation, instead of trying to kill them, why don't we try to relocate them? Okay, it's very heartfelt, you know, passionate position. Where exactly would you relocate them where there are no humans anymore? I mean, that's the problem. Like, where would you relocate them? I don't know. I don't think there's an answer for that. There is a new report pertaining to the Pensacola Beach Air Show, which we just finished up. Speaking of which, on the listener advisory board survey that we have that we just mentioned on our website, newsradio923.com, we have a question pertaining to the Pensacola Beach Air Show. The last couple of years, we have, so going back like 10 years, we've carried the narration of the Blues flying on Saturday. The last couple of years, we've carried the Blues narration on Saturday and on Friday. But one of our questions is, should we also carry the civilian air show narration? Like when the Red Bull team is flying, for example, and you have these other things. Because there's a lot of very interesting information about these other pilots and their history and what they're doing and the maneuvers and blah, blah, blah. And so we've had a lot of people requesting at the beach, like, hey, are you guys carrying the rest of this? I can't hear it. You know, I can't hear the speakers where I'm at. Can we pull it up on your app and listen to it? The answer was no before. And so we're asking the question, should we start carrying that? So go to our listener advisory board survey and give us your answer. And that way, if you'd like to hear the civilian part of the air show as well, either on Friday and Saturday or just on Saturday or none at all. But the Pensacola Beach Air Show delivered $31.5 million in economic impact for Escambia County, according to Visit Pensacola. The study was conducted by Downs and St. Germain Research, and they found that we had 206,500 visitors from July 9th through the 12th. Of those, 124,000 were unique attendees, meaning visitors who attended more than one day of the event. Nearly half of the attendees, 49%, were out-of-county visitors. I'll give you some more statistics right after Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We've got an accident right now that happened. Let me pull that back up right here. Westbound traffic in Gulf Breeze is backed up for miles on Highway 98. Accident in the National Seashore. It's down to one lane. So be aware of that. That's going to cost you about an extra 20, 25 minutes in your commute. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
So some of the other statistics here, 61,000 out-of-county visitors attended the show, traveling in groups of 3.1 people on average. 63% of out-of-county guests stayed in paid accommodations, staying on an average of 3.7 nights. Visitors who came, so, you know, what is it, 37% stayed with friends and family, right? Visitors, or they just, what, slept on the beach or in their car? I don't know. The visitors who came specifically for the event accounted for 31,900 room nights in the area. The average out-of-town travel party spent $1,050 during their visit. So we were talking about this earlier. Somebody texted in and said they had a bunch of family and friends in, and they ended up, you know, yeah, they stayed at their house, but they ended up spending a lot of money, you know, going out to eat and stuff like that. And so they're not sure if this economic impact included all those. I think it tries to. I mean, it can't be exact, right? But like it pointed out, only 63% of the out-of-town visitors were in paid accommodations. So they acknowledge, you know, a good percentage, 37%, did not pay for accommodations. But they also acknowledge that the average out-of-stater or out-of-county visitors, you know, spent on average $1,050 per party. So that accounts for, okay, maybe they didn't have paid accommodations, but they still had to go out to eat or even just go to the grocery store and buy more food than you normally would buy because you got guests from out of town, things like that. So, yeah, very, very strong impact. Another texter just texted in, do we have any idea what, any clue on the financial impact of the Blue Angels Beach Show, how it compares to other shows the Blues perform? Is the Beach Show in the top 10 for dollars generated or top 5, etc.? That's actually a good question. I do not know. I mean, that would be interesting. I have to look it up. I don't know if other communities measure that. You know, we measure it because it's a big deal for our community, but I don't know if other communities it's a big deal because you got to remember, for us, it's a yearly thing. The Blue Angels don't fly at, like all the shows that they do, very rarely are they flying to some, you know, doing something the same time every, you know, same year over and over and over. They fly to different cities and they do different shows all over the country. We're one of the few things where they're always going to come and do it because this is their home, right? So because we have them year after year after year, we build on it. Places that only get the Blue Angels to fly once every 5 years, once every 3, once every 10 years, like, I'm not sure if they would even be interested in measuring it because it's nothing that they can rely on. Like, oh, we're going to have them year after year after year. How important is it for us to have them every year? You know what I mean? So I don't know if there would even be something we could even compare to. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew right here. If you'd like to weigh in, text or call 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Trump derangement syndrome. I was talking about this a little bit earlier. I want to bring it up again. I had only heard of this a few months ago. I never heard of Trump derangement syndrome. I know somebody texted in, what do you mean you haven't heard of this? This has been going on since 2016. I hadn't heard of it before. I don't have to tell you. But I have a friend who's a registered Republican who just absolutely hates Trump. And he told me, this was a few months ago, he told me, he's like, people keep saying I have Trump derangement syndrome. And I immediately told him, I said, what, you? You're the furthest away from that as anybody I know. You hate Trump. And he was like, yeah, but that's apparently Trump derangement syndrome. And I was like, wait, what? So, yeah, apparently Trump derangement syndrome is basically defined as people who are opposed to Trump. And often it's characterized as an irrational opposition to Trump and his policies. An irrational discrediting of Trump and his policies. Which to me would be anti-Trump derangement syndrome. I don't know what, because to me, if you say Trump derangement syndrome, instead of saying people so opposed to Trump that their brain shuts down to the mere mention of Trump, so that their brain auto-translates Trump's words into Hitler's voice. Like, to me, that's not Trump derangement. That's anti-Trump derangement syndrome. Trump derangement syndrome would be people so far up Trump's rear end that they no longer breathe oxygen, but instead they breathe methane gas. So it creates this weird euphoric state. So whenever they read or hear anything from Trump, they think it's the greatest thing ever. Like, to me, that would be Trump derangement syndrome, not the anti-Trump. And so it throws me off. I keep hearing people mentioning Trump derangement syndrome or TDS and describing people. And I'm always thinking like it's the other far side of things. It's the people who think that Trump can do no wrong and they like walks on water and stuff. And then I'm like, and I always have to correct myself. The reason why I bring this up is because Trump's meeting with Vladimir Putin on Friday in Alaska. And I'm seeing both sides of this kind of extreme. I'm seeing the people who are like, oh, this is just Trump having a photo op. Nothing's going to happen. This isn't important. In fact, he may not even show up. It's going to be like AI version of Trump. Like, it's not even, you know, like I'm seeing this extreme of people like, it's just a photo op. They're not even going to talk about the war in Ukraine. They're probably just going to play poker together or something like that. But then I got this other side of things that are like, finally, now that Trump's meeting with Putin, he's going to put Putin in his place, and Putin's going to kowtow, and he's going to immediately cave and stop the war in Ukraine. Like, I see these two extremes, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Here's another extreme. Jimmy Kimmel basically just revealed that he, last week, that he now has Italian citizenship to, as a backup plan to escape President Trump. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, you got to calm down. Okay, I may not like everything that Trump does, but this idea that you're going to have to escape Trump, you got to calm down. Like, there's definitely some sort of cognitive dissonance or cognitive something disconnect that's happening right there. It doesn't make any sense. Like, that to me doesn't make any sense, just as much as the people are like, now that Trump's meeting with Vladimir Putin, he's going to put him in his place and Putin's going to kowtow. Like, both of them are crazy ideas, okay? I'm just hoping Trump will, because I'm hoping for the best. So I'm hoping that this meeting with Vladimir Putin goes well and that progress is made in ending the war in Ukraine. And so I don't understand that both of these extremes. So it's kind of bizarre. Another Trump derangement syndrome thing is I see that Bobby, I have Kamala derangement syndrome. That's funny. There, I see this other extreme. For example, Trump has been coming up with, he's been talking about Nancy Pelosi and her investments and says, somebody needs to be looking into this. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of like bizarre. Like, does Trump understand? It makes me wonder, does Trump know the criticism against him? Does he know the criticisms against him or the, I won't even say criticisms, maybe opposition? I don't know. Something along those lines. Because it seems like he's clueless when he says stuff like this. Because a lot of the people I talk to, both Republican and Democrat right now, many of them feel concerned with Trump's, I won't say manipulation, but for lack of, just to be efficient, manipulation of the stock market. Since January, the stock market's gone crazy. And oftentimes that craziness is because of Trump's involvement somehow. For example, there's a guy I know that was, he was sharing how volatile the market is. All he was doing was just talking about the volatility of the markets. He wasn't trying to bash Trump. He wasn't trying to do anything like this. He was just talking about the volatility of the market. And he was saying, I lost $29,000 on a trade. And the reason is because the trade was moving in my direction. Everything was going great. I was just like, yay, I got into this trade right. He goes, and then Trump tweeted out something and the stock crashed so fast, I wasn't able to get out of it fast enough and I lost 29 grand. Now, this is somebody who's got a lot of money in the market, obviously. But it's that kind of thing. And I talked to Republicans and I talked to Democrats who both feel like Trump is maybe not even on purpose, but either way, his tweets, his announcements, his speeches dramatically affect the markets. And so I've heard the conspiracy theories are he is making money on this. He's got people and he's telling them, hey, buy and sell all these stocks or whatever, because I'm about to tweet out that I'm going to put a hold on the tariffs or I'm going to add more tariffs or whatever it might be. And so there's these conspiracies that he is manipulating the market and making billions of dollars on the market because he knows what he's about to tweet and knows what's going to happen. It's either going to go up or go down because of what he's going to do. And so it's wild to me that he would accuse Nancy Pelosi of doing some sort of insider trading when right now a lot of people question whether he's doing something to manipulate the markets to make money. Here's the other thing. The whole, is anybody looking at what Nancy Pelosi's done as far as insider trading is, hello, Republicans have introduced bills multiple times to try to ban insider trading for members of Congress. And Democrats and many Republicans refuse to pass the bill. You even have people like AOC, who's far left, who said we need to pass a bill that stops insider trading with members of Congress. So here's the thing. You can look into Nancy Pelosi And the reality of it is there's no bill that prevents members of Congress from doing that. So it's like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Encourage members of Congress to pass a bill, President. I would love to see that. Encourage members of Congress to pass a bill. All right. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McCann and Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. Informative, local, dependable.
That's right, and we've got your traffic on the fives right now. 98 westbound from the Garcon Point Bridge all the way to Pensacola Bridge. We're seeing some major delays in that area due to an earlier accident. It is cleared, but the delays are still there. Also, Davis Highway southbound as you approach, the Olive Road intersection. I've got about a 10 to 15-minute delay in that area. Don't forget, school is starting back up again today for both Escambia and Santa Rosa County. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Summer season is here and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew. 78 degrees here in the Pensacola area on the first day of school. Florida's top marijuana regulator is stepping down. Yeah, he's leaving his post. He's burned out. Yeah, his job went up in smoke. Christopher Kimball, he's stepping down, actually to take a deputy general counsel position with Governor DeSantis' office. So he didn't really get burned out. He didn't get burned out from the marijuana. There's better jokes.
Local
there.
News every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.